If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56steve.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. So what do you think the most domesticated lizard might be? Would it be a species of snake? No, because snakes are not lizards. So what pet, what lizard pet do you think is the most sort of domesticated? Well, we'll answer that question. I call the species the puppy dogs of the lizard world. And we will see if Dr. Krista Keller from the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine agrees with me. Raisa Allaire is the executive director of a changing treehouse humane society, changing in so many different ways, but I would argue historically, Raisa, treehouse has been ahead of the curve. One example is trap neuter return, or I should say, because it's better to say it this way, trap neuter vaccinate return. Vaccinate's a very important part of this, where community cats, once called feral cats, that are outdoors, are trapped and neutered or spayed. They're vaccinated for rabies. Then they're returned right back where they came from. I'll tell you, maybe some other shelters did it first. Maybe Treehouse was first. I don't know. Why is this so important?
Thanks, Steve. Yes, so this has been around Treehouse, part of our menu, and we provide a holistic approach to feline cat care. And community cats is a central part of our work. It arose and emerged as a result of the 2007 Cook County Managed Care of Feral Cats Ordinance, and it is addressing overpopulation of feral cats in the city. And so thanks to about 1,000 volunteers all over Chicagoland, we care for more than 4,000 outdoor cats. And so you're right, we spay, neuter, we vaccinate, we provide a microchip, rabies vaccinations, and we also register the colony caretaker. And so we provide an alternative for outdoor cats and making sure that they are a healthy part of our community.
Well, the great thing about this is, first of all, if a cat somehow is really ill, that cat is humanely euthanized, a community cat I'm talking about, right? If the cat is a very young kitten, that kitty can still be adopted out to a family. But anything in between, these cats are actually, they're not socialized to people. So what we know, study after study after study, is they're actually suffering if they're put into a shelter, which was the old way to do it, and to try to quote-unquote tame these cats. It wasn't fair to the cats. It wasn't fair to other cats who could be adopted because there was no room for those cats because these other cats were taking up all the space. Beside, it is the right thing to do. And it turns out finding colony caretakers is not a difficult thing to do, not only in Chicago, but around the country, though I suspect you are always looking for more volunteers.
We are. We are always looking for volunteers. And you're right, socialization is a spectrum. And so if a cat, an outdoor cat, is brought to us and we determine that they can be adopted into a home and that is an environment that where they will thrive, we will do so. And yes, we are always looking for volunteers. You can visit treehouseanimals.org. We're looking for volunteers at our shelter, volunteers to work with our community cats team, and volunteers as fosters.
Yeah, so I left that part out. You said shelter, and that's probably where you have a spanking new building. It's beautiful. I was just in it. And it's, what, a couple of years old at this point? It has a cat cafe, too. So it's one of the two cat cafes in Chicago. Can people make an appointment? Is that how, during these times of COVID, it's also a small space, is that how you can arrange for you hanging out at the Cat Cafe?
Yes. So the Cat Cafe is one of our latest additions. We do have an eco-friendly shelter in West Rogers Park. The Cat Cafe highlights feline leukemia cats. So these are cats that can live for many years, but it's often a misunderstood condition, but they can find healthy homes. And so we really focus adoptions of feline leukemia cats, and our Cat Cafe has been great with helping us place cats and find loving homes for these special cats. And so you can book an appointment by visiting treehouseanimals.org/cafe. We also have folks that visit the cat cafe if they find that they cannot have a cat at home due to allergies, and so they get their kitty fix by visiting the cat cafe and taking part in one of our beverages.
And non-alcoholic, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes.
Non-alcoholic.
That's, I know,
yes.
That's not right. But, you know, what is right is that I know that seniors will come in who feel, okay, I can't take on that responsibility or the cost of having a cat. For kids who have special needs, they may come in with mom and dad, and they may not be able to have a cat, or mom and dad want to see how the kids react with the cat. And this is one way to do that as well. I mean, it's a lot of people who this community you serve by having a cat cafe.
That's correct. We also have kids that want to celebrate their birthdays with kitties or that want to find some reading time and practice their reading, so they book some time and read to the kitties. It's been a wonderful addition, and I think for us it's been really great to highlight these special cats that would otherwise be euthanized in other shelters. These feline leukemia kitties that we have.
Yeah, there could be a whole long discussion about that. But I'll tell you, feline leukemia, it was thought at one time, and I know Treehouse was quote-unquote guilty of this. I was on the board. I'll take responsibility. It's what we knew then. We don't know, you know, what we thought we knew is not what we know now. And we thought feline leukemia was a certain death sentence, and it's not. It's not. Obviously, these cats are still around. They're alive. They're thriving. The secret is to keep them thriving, which means proactive veterinary care. And yes, some cats with feline leukemia will have some difficulties down the road or even right now, but many cats, no, they don't. They do fine. So that is what was misunderstood about feline leukemia, as was misunderstood before that about the feline immunodeficiency virus, or FIV. I want to talk about something else that Treehouse does for the community, for Chicago, and that's the Low-Cost Veterinary Wellness Center. Tell me about that.
Yes, Steve. Treehouse Veterinary Wellness Center opened up last April, and since then we've been booked. We serve not only the general public and folks that are on government assistance that might need low-cost veterinary services for their cat and dog. We also work with a lot of shelters and the trap-neuter return community to help with the spay-neutering of outdoor cats. And that is located at our shelter at 7225 Northwestern Avenue. And folks can visit treehousevet.org to make an appointment and learn more about the services that we offer.
Excellent. And the website overall is?
TreehouseAnimals with an S .org.
Perfect. Raisa Allaire, congratulations. 51 years. Well, you haven't been there 51 years, but Treehouse has. Yeah, no, not even in cat years. Treehouse has and has been a leader around the country, continues to be. Good to talk to you, Raisa.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. Thanks again for all your support to Treehouse.
Dr. Krista Keller, Assistant Professor, Zoological Medicine, University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine, and the leader of a fan club. I don't know many veterinarians who are leaders of fan clubs. Your fan club is, I love the bearded dragons. Well, I kind of just made that up. But you do love, I believe, bearded dragon lizards.
I mean, what's not to love? You know, what's not to love? I think my fan club is probably just composed of bearded dragons. I'm not sure that I have a human fan club, but definitely some bearded dragons, some four-legged reptilian lizard fans.
All right, so why get a bearded dragon lizard? In what household might maybe a dog or cat not quite be right yet, but maybe you want to start with another pet? Why might a bearded dragon be a really good choice?
Great question. I think a lot of people think of reptiles as being this animal that you might get, but they don't consider them to be a companion, right? They don't consider, like, hey, I'll have a relationship with this animal. Maybe they think they're really cool or very interesting or cool to look at, but they don't necessarily right away think, hey, I can have a friendship or relationship with this animal. Well, that is true for bearded dragons. They very much so do have incredible personalities, really learn to integrate into the lifestyle and the routines and the schedules of their human family members. And a big benefit is I meet a lot of people that say that they got their first bearded dragon because they have like a fur allergy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so either them or someone in the family can't do dogs, cats, rabbits, any of that. And so they tried something in the reptile world, and every single one of them said that was the trigger for us to try a bearded dragon, and we'll never go back. Reptiles are the way to go. Bearded dragons are the way to go.
Oh, sure. Reptiles can be the way to go. You know, I'm thinking of leopard geckos, for example, and I think that everyone during the pandemic somehow purchased the leopard gecko, and they're wonderful for what they are, but a leopard gecko, you don't take out of its enclosure and expect it to sit on your lap. In fact, it would very much stress out that leopard gecko. However, and lots of other reptiles. However, I would argue that bearded dragons are kind of halfway or more than halfway toward, first off, being domestic, which means associating with people is something they enjoy. And is enjoy even a right word to describe something a lizard can feel?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it definitely comes with, you know, you have to put in the time. You know, in terms of training them as a young animal that you get. But the same true for a dog or a cat or any other kind of more traditional animal. But yes, I definitely hear from my clients that their bearded dragons really integrate into their routine. Definitely, you know, my client comes home from work or whatever, and the bearded dragon is like at the front of the enclosure, like, wait, you're home. Why haven't you come to get me yet? Which is exactly what our dogs do, right? Not all of our cats, but it's exactly what our dogs do. Is they're like, yes, you're home, time to play. And bearded dragons definitely, most of them have that same sentiment and that same activity.
And they know different family members and sometimes bond more with some than others. Is that right?
It's incredible. But yes, it's definitely true. Lots of times somebody will bring in the bearded dragon. Sometimes it's a parent that brings in the bearded dragon for healthcare. And they're like, you know, my son could help you with handling him because my son and this bearded dragon are best friends. But he doesn't really like me. I think he knows I'm a little scared of him. You know, they say things like this. So there definitely can be these differential relationships with different people in the family.
So let's do a little bearded dragon 101. What do they need? How large of an enclosure? Do they live with other bearded dragons? What do they eat? All that stuff.
Yeah, so originally from Australia, they're mostly solo. When we keep them, you know, under human care, you know, obviously in the wild, they do find each other and breed. But in captivity, they tend to fight quite a bit if you keep them in the same enclosure. So we usually recommend solo housing. Bearded dragons don't get super large like a green iguana, but they do need a lot of space. And that space really should be more horizontal. You know, they're not going to go up in trees and climb things. So having, you know, a big vertical gradient is not going to be great for them, but they need a lot of floor space. So we recommend as a minimum size for an adult bearded dragon to be a 40-gallon breeder tank. This is the 40-gallon equivalent of an aquarium tank, but that has more floor space. And that's a pretty big, you know, it's bigger than the top of most dressers or bureaus. So something to take in consideration. They definitely like it hot. They're from Central Australia. It's kind of desert. It's dry. They need at least 95 degrees Fahrenheit in their basking zone for them to be healthy. And so that's not going to be something that you can do just by turning up the heat in your room. You know, you really need to have external heat sources and lighting sources. And then as babies, they're going to eat mostly crickets and mealworms and, you know, all of those insects. But once they hit their first birthday, they should be eating mostly salads. And so making them a daily dark leafy greens and some squashes, maybe a little bit of fruit, is going to be what's best for them. And the best thing, your doctor will love it too, if you partake of more salads. because as Americans, right, we can all eat a lot more salad.
I believe that's probably true. I don't know that I eat enough green myself. How long does your average bearded dragon live?
Oh, I really, really, really love to get them to double-digit years. You know, I've met a couple that are 11. They're usually pretty old and decrepit at that point. But, you know, I love to get them to a decade. it's more frequent that I can get them to 8 years of age. So not as long-lived as some of our other lizards, but definitely not short-lived either.
You know, the other thing that I feel very strongly about is if you're going to make a commitment to do this, make the commitment to do it. And that means veterinary 100%. Care for these animals. And the good news is veterinarians are learning more and more about how to provide that care.
Yes, 100%. You know, I'm a veterinarian, but, you know, I can't, you know, it's been pretty, you know, defined now that dogs and cats need annual health exams.
You know, I would argue, I'm interrupting you because I'd argue for dogs and cats twice a year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them, yes, as they get into middle and old age, we can find things earlier if we can get our hands on the animals, we can do a little bit of blood work. And the same holds true for every other species. You know, so I like to see bearded dragons, what I call a post-purchase exam. You know, you just got your bearded dragon. Let's come make a relationship with a veterinarian. Let me make sure that there's no parasites. Let's make sure you're setting up all the best care practices at home. Let's make sure you understand what is reason for an emergency visit or a non-emergency visit, you know, all of that. But, yes, I recommend once a year annual exams until we get about 5 years of age. And then twice a year from there on out. And there's just so much that we can find on those, you know, even if they're otherwise healthy, we can say, oh my goodness, we've lost some weight. What is going on with this weight loss? Maybe we need to investigate, is there something else going on? So thank you for bringing that up, Steve. I do think that we can make them live longer and make them live healthier if we have more veterinary care involved.
Well, and the other thing is they don't tell us when they're not feeling well. Reptiles are masters at masking illness. So there's no way for us often, unless maybe your bearded dragon isn't eating. Weight loss is, unless you have a scale that can weigh. And, you know, so most of us don't have that baby scale or a scale small enough to weigh a bearded dragon or a cat. So then how would you know that? Because the weight loss isn't going to be noticeable. Blood work, obviously, you don't do in your kitchen. So
No.
So the only way to know these things is, in fact, to see a veterinarian. So I'm glad you said what you said. And, yes, you are the number one fan of bearded dragons, Dr. Krista Keller, assistant professor, zoological medicine, University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I know you haven't asked about this, but just in case you do, if you for some reason don't want a bearded dragon lizard, what are some other great choices in the reptile world for a first reptile, if you will, a reptile with training wheels, one that's easier to have as a pet? And here I will finish out at least my personal list. I don't know whether Dr. Keller would agree with it or not, but this is my list. So, yes, absolutely, I agree with everything we said about bearded dragons. They are amazing. But next on the list, and this is in no particular order, by the way, would be a lizard we have, a northern blue-tongued skink. The great thing about northern blue-tongued skinks is that they don't require crickets. Now, at a younger age, having something like that, crickets or a little bit of mealworm would be a good thing when they're young. However, as they age, they just need some maybe dog or cat food and a variety of different vegetables and fruits for sure. Lettuces, that's a big one as well. And even some chicken without barbecue sauce, please, or hot sauce. No, none of that for a skink. But that would be good too. Our skink is now, I don't even remember for sure, but I think 28 years old, and that is beyond what they're supposed to live, which is maybe 20, 22, 23 years old tops. So, and Cosette, that's her name, she's doing great. What would be another good starter lizard? A leopard gecko. Now, unlike a skink or the bearded dragons, which can enjoy or at least tolerate being handled by people, I would argue enjoy. If they get to know the people and are well socialized, enjoy is probably the right word, but not for a leopard gecko. But they're easy to care for. They're small. So a skink, the northern blue-tongued skink, is about 2.5 feet. And we described the bearded dragon lizards at about the same, you know, so they're not tiny and they're not huge. They're a good in-between. However, for leopard geckos, they're just inches, you know, and they don't like to be handled. But they're easy enough to care for, and that's why I say they're another good choice. Now, let me move away from staying in the reptile world, as I said, but move away from lizards, a corn snake. They're beautiful. that come in all these different color varieties. If you're going to get a snake and you want a snake that's, quote, like nearly domesticated, if you will, they would be a great first choice as well. By the way, I do hope you check out my website and sign up for my newsletter, which is free. You can do that easy enough. Just simply go to stevedale.tv and you can read all the latest in pet news or listen to us any Sunday morning right here on WGN at 5:30. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, right here on WGN.